Joining me on the line right now is my friend, Mr. Jim Brogan. You can hear him on Saturdays. Mr. Brogan, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Good morning, Halloran. How are you?
It is fantastic.
I just said good morning. It's 3:35 in the afternoon. My apologies.
Hey, Jim.
I just realized what I said.
Yeah, I did morning radio for 22 years, so quite appropriate.
Well, and when I come in, I'm so used to coming on live on Saturday morning. I always say good morning, even if I have to tape it ahead of time. That's funny.
Well, welcome to the broadcast.
I was watching,
oddly enough, the nerd that I am. I was actually watching a presentation by the chairman of the Atlanta Fed, and he was talking about interest rates and about inflation, and he said, we're trying to get back to neutral, and he felt like 8 moves to get to about 2.5% would bring us back to normal, or what he said was natural. And then he said something really interesting, and that's why I included him in the top 3 at 3. He said, but I don't know. Is it 6 moves? Is it 8 moves? Is it going to happen fast? Is it going to happen slow? And really what he was saying is, we don't know. And I said, when I get a chance to talk to Jim, among the other things we have to talk about here, I was going to ask you about that uncertainty. There are so many people out there who speak with great authority, but do we really know?
No, I don't think we do. And actually, Howler, I think the Fed is kind of somewhat in a panic type of a mode. I'm not sure they know what to do. There are so many things unusual about this particular rate increase cycle. They've been a little bit more, they're kind of telegraphing they want to be a little bit more aggressive with their rate hikes than I thought they would when the Russia-Ukraine conflict started. But they want to raise interest rates to curb inflation. But then at some point when you're raising interest rates, you eventually create a recession. So that's just how market cycles work. And the question is, will it be a soft landing? You hear that expression a lot, meaning a mild kind of a recession, or will it be deeper? And so the Fed is trying to, balance that line. It's a kind of a balancing act. But I think they're kind of in a panic mode right now. I mean, they would never say that, but I think they're not really sure. Again, as you say, really smart people, they're uncertain.
So as you're looking at things, let me just start by having you give us kind of what your view is. I know there are several things that you pay attention, several things that you watch. What are you looking at? As you read the tea leaves, what is that telling you? And then how is that affecting the strategy that you give to your clients?
Those are great questions, Howler. And I think, first of all, I think when we look at things like the stock market, I think listeners need to ask themselves, are you an investor or are you a trader? Because traders, and if you're a trader and you're short-term in and out of things, you might would want to go to cash right now. But if you're an investor, one of the keys to long-term success is being invested for when the market surges upward. And the problem is, we don't know when we're going to have good weeks and months and years and when we're going to have bad ones. We know that the market has cycles where it's sharply up. It also has cycles where it's sharply down. And so one of the keys to long-term investment success is to be invested for those upswings. Now, that means you have to properly manage the downswings that inevitably happen, and we do that in a couple of ways. We do that with our diversification and asset allocation. Just because the stock market's going up and down volatilely doesn't mean your overall portfolio has to be, because you can have other things that balance stocks. One thing zigs, another thing zags. The other thing, though, that's critical, Halloran, is when you have investments that have risk, short-term risk, and are up and down and up and down, you're just gambling if it's a short-term viewpoint. I mean, if you're saying, where's the market in 3 months or 12 months, it's a crapshoot. I think the new definition of long-term now is 5 or 6 years. So you've got to have that type of view. Now, with some of the things you're asking me about my forecasting, I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, Halloran, I don't know either. Nobody does. We want to be strategic about opportunities and protect people from unnecessary risks. But we also don't want to go too far with that because we know market timing doesn't work in the long haul. So there are some things that we can do to protect, but we've just got to be very balanced in our approach and measure risk and do those things. Now, if you want me to talk about what I think in the next 2 or 3 years, I'm happy to.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll be the first. Okay, well, let's dive in then.
Yeah, yeah. I want you to talk about what's on your heart today and what's on your list today.
Well, so, you know, I know the markets are very uneasy. People seem to be very uneasy right now. In a recent CBS News poll, Halloran, 63% of Americans rated the U.S. economy as bad. And the reality is that is not the truth. Now, economic growth is going to slow down this year, and raising interest rates will curb that growth more. It was already red hot, and that's why we have the inflation that we have. So, you know, people's perception of where we are, I know there's been a lot of talk that there's been a couple of times in the last 30, 45 days where the yield curve has been inverted. And without getting too complicated, Halloran, it's like, you know, normally if I buy a 3-year CD, it'll pay more than a 2-year CD. If you have a 5-year auto loan, you're probably going to have to pay a higher interest rate than a 3-year auto loan. So the yield curve inverting, it flips that upside down. So when people hear that word, that phrase, it means that the U.S. Treasury, the yield on a 2-year treasury is higher than the yield on a 10-year treasury. So it's upside down is a good word for that. And the reason people have been talking about that is because, oh my gosh, when we have an inversion or interest rates get upside down, that will lead to a recession. And that's typically the way that works. But it takes a while. It doesn't happen right away. And as a matter of fact, when interest rates start increasing, that usually signals that all asset prices are going to increase in the short term. So I'm probably overall, Halloran, through the end of the year, if you held a gun to my head and said make a forecast, I'm probably a little bit more optimistic than pessimistic. The one thing I feel most confident of is that markets are going to continue to be very choppy. Now, when we get into next year, you know, maybe the back half of next year, I become more concerned. There also are some warning signals that are a little bit different this time than they normally are. But, you know, be careful when you hear economists say, well, it's different this time. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that expression over the years. Oh, it's different this time. And it doesn't necessarily work out that way.
Now, is there so where are people wanting the markets are just so emotional, for instance. How markets react could be, you know, way removed from the actual action on the ground. But the way people feel affects the way they move their money around. I've been noting that there is, I don't know if there's a flight yet, but there seems to be a lot of movement toward bonds again, where bonds were, people were moving away from bonds and moving into equity. But now, am I reading that right? Are people moving back toward bonds?
There's been a little bit of a resurgence, especially in the last 30, 45 days with traditional investment grade U.S. bonds. But, you know, that is an emotional response, Halloran. And emotion is one of the top 3 or 4 enemies of successful wealth management. And that's where we don't want to let our emotions get in the way. And you are right. In the short term, day to day, market fundamentals don't drive markets. It's macro environmental factors and the way people feel about what's happening or not happening. But in the long haul, the fundamentals win. But that's one of the reasons in the short term, it's a crapshoot. And so, again, I'll go back to that original question I asked. Are you an investor or are you a day trader?
Right.
So when you have a good financial plan and you know why your money's there, you can be an investor because you know that that piece of money, I'm a huge fan, Halloran, that the money that's invested at risk in the market, you're not going to need for 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
What do you say to people that are listening right now and they got one eye on their 401k balance and they're looking at it and they're saying, whoa, 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 whoa. It's a little volatile because of how that money within their 401k is invested. How do you help people keep their powder dry through volatile times?
I think one of the best ways is to look at how soon is it going to be before they're retiring and they'll need to actually start accessing that money. You know, if somebody's 52 like me and they're not going to – now, I don't know that I'll ever retire. Didi's told me I could never retire. She never wants me home that much. But you know, if somebody's going to retire in 15 years, I mean, I really wouldn't be worried about the short-term market movements right now. If anything, when the markets are sharply down, I'd be figuring out how can I put more money in. But smart. If somebody's getting close to retirement, they should be identifying that, and they need to know what to sort of – I think everybody, especially when they get closer to retirement, Halloran, should have an idea of what they could expect if there was another typical bear market at a 40% downturn, because that happens about every 8 years since 1900, and the average is about 40%, a little bit more actually. So they should look at what that would mean when they open their statement or go online and pull up their account. Because that's where emotion can be a real big enemy, that they know what type of risk they're taking, and they know they can afford that kind of risk based on their financial plan.
Jim Brogan's great. Jim, thanks for being on the broadcast. You can hear him on Saturday morning, and you can find access to both his courses, the radio show, and the expertise at Brogan Financial at their website, broganfinancial.com. Jim, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Thank you, Halloran. My pleasure. Have a great day.